Candidates, if you would please speak into the microphones as we are live streamed and live on KGFX tonight.
Okay, my name is Dave Word. I live here in, off of Range Road in the northeast part of Pierre. I have a wife and two sons. My last son just graduated from high school this year. My oldest son is Murdoch Word. He's going to School of Mines. I own a construction company and currently employ about 8 employees. Don't have a whole lot to say, I guess. I'm interested in giving a little bit back to Pierre. Pierre's been really good to me, this Hughes County, good community. I really like it. I originally came from Belvedere, which is a dying community, and I see what when you don't look ahead and plan for growth, if everybody's against growth, you end up with a community like Belvedere. And I like this community, and I like the way it's growing, and I would like to continue to see it do so. Would look forward, if I'm elected, to working with the other commissioners to further the county and the citizens, and I'm always open to people that have a concern or a question. And the only thing I can tell you is I'll give you an honest answer. You might not like it, but it'll be an honest answer. And that's the only thing I have to say.
Great. Okay, thanks, Greg, for having me here tonight. My name's Connie Hone. I'm, on a personal level, I grew up in Blount, and my parents still live there. And it's their anniversary today, so happy anniversary to Jerry and Mavis Walton. Went to Blount Elementary, went to high school in Sully Buttes in Oneida, and then afterwards I went to Black Hills State and got a degree in business administration. Came back, moved back to Blount, got married to my husband Russ, and we had 3 children, Raquel, Haley, and Lane, and lived there for about 10 years, and then we moved to up north of Pierre in Sunshine Loop. On a career side, I have been working for the state for 28 years. I started with the department or the Division of Insurance. I was a financial analyst, so I looked at insurance regulations to make sure that they were solvent. So I looked at CPA reports, their annual reports, their management discussion analysis, their actuarial opinions. So I did that for a few years, and then I moved over to the Department of Social Services, where I worked with the Medicaid drug rebate program and helped streamline that to make that more efficient. And then for the last 8 years, I've been the finance director for the Department of Military and the Department of Veteran Affairs. So I understand budgets. I understand we have to live within our budgets. And if I can bring that that set of skills to the county, I'm here for you.
Okay. My name is Jerry Ogan, and I've lived in Hughes County all my life. I went to school in Blount and graduated out of Sully Buttes, and I currently have a construction and trucking business. I build roads and make gravel, and I would just like to be listened to what the people's needs are and have good roads and work with the roads and the gravel and make better gravel. And just listen, I guess, and that's all I have to say.
Kerry? I'm Kerry Smith. I've lived in Hughes County for 37 years now. I live in rural Hughes County and have for the last 20 years. I'm married and have one son, Cody. He's 22. I've worked off and on with the city of Pierre and Fort Pierre for almost 19 years, and I currently work for a contractor here in town. Back in the day, I was on the DeGray Fire Department for several years when I farmed out in that area. I spent 10 years volunteering with the Pierre Ambulance with Bob Hardwick for 10 years, and I was also a reserve police officer with the city of Pierre in Hughes County for 8 years. Like I said, I currently work for a contractor here. I have over 25 years experience out in the field. I've had my own farm, so I know some financial stuff. I'm just here for change. Thank you.
Dave.
Thank you. First of all, I'll thank the chamber for sponsoring this event. I think it's important that you, the voters, get to know us and our feelings about issues that affect you. The candidates, thank you for coming. It takes a lot of effort to be a candidate, and we're putting ourselves on the line so that you can decide who you want to represents you as a county commission. The media also for being here, to people who couldn't be here, at least they'll be able to know where we stand on the issues. As far as myself, I'm a semi-retired attorney. I'm a former businessman. I own my own law practice here in Pierre, and I also owned a sports bar in Pierre for a number of years before I sold it to Mad Mary. I'm an honorary discharged Vietnam veteran. I'm active with member of St. Peter and Paul Parish here in Pierre. I'm also on the board of directors of the National Alliance for Mental Illness, and I'm also active with our local NAMI chapter here. My wife, Darlene, who's in the audience, is, a lot of you probably know her. She's been at St. Joe's for 37 years. She's still going strong. We have two daughters grown. One is a psychologist in Yankton, working for a beer, and one's a teacher in Mulvane, Kansas. My philosophy is simple. No new taxes. No new fee increases. We can't afford anymore. There's other ways that we can balance the budget. I'm a firm believer in that. And I make the commitment to you that if I am elected, unless there's an absolutely dire emergency that the county cannot meet its expenses, there will be no new taxes or fees. Thank you for attending, and I appreciate your vote on June 5th.
Brent.
Thanks, Greg, and thanks to the chamber for putting this on. And thanks for all you people taking your time to come here. My name's Randy Vance. I've lived in Pierre for 31 years. I've been in business, my own business here since 1988. I live here with my wife and my two daughters now have graduated high school from here. I've been active in the community since I've lived here. I started out, I was on the original youth football board. I was on the original youth softball board. I've been active in the South Dakota Appraiser Certification Program Advisory Council. I served 9 years on the school board. I am currently the chairman of the Hillsview Golf Board. And I tell you all of this not only as my resume, but go ask those people that have been part of those boards and ask if I pull my weight. So I own property in town. I own property out in the county. I lived out in the Grey Goose area for 20 years. I served on the Oahe Plains Water Board. I was president of that board for probably 10 years. So feel free to ask those people if I pulled my weight and I got the job done. And I'm here to serve you. I'm one of those people that I believe that we got to get back to the community, and I've done it for 30 years, and I plan to continue to do it. So thanks for your time tonight. Thanks for coming, and that's all I need.
Okay.
Thank you. For the benefit of the candidates, just in case you weren't aware, Jamie is keeping time, and we're gonna hold as close as possible to that minute and 30 second response time when we get to the questions, and then the 2 minute closing statement time. So with that, since we went from my right to left for the opening statements, I think the first question, we'll start with Randy and work our way back this way. First question is, probably the biggest challenge to county governments across South Dakota is the budget. Property tax revenues are generally limited, while at the same time costs for personnel, law enforcement, and roads continue to increase. If elected, what budget priorities would you bring to the county commission?
Well, Greg, I can tell you that I actually sat through the finance budget this time for Hughes County. I was the only one of the candidates that was there. And Hughes County is probably in more dire need of money than any of the other municipalities around, or the school board. We had a lot easier job on the school board than we did with Hughes County. Their biggest problem right now is law enforcement and court-appointed attorneys. And this last Monday's meeting, we're actually talking about if we can't get a grant for a bridge, that a road may just be closed and people will have to take alternative routes. Income for the county is very limited, and that's something that it's going to take some time. I'm not going to sit up here and tell you that I know all about the Hughes County budget. I got a lot to learn, and that's why I've attended every meeting since I decided to run for Hughes County Commission. I've been there, I think, other than one meeting where Mr. Ogan was at, I've been the only candidate that's attended every meeting.
Dave.
Thank you. That's a very good question. Obviously, the county's faced a very difficult time, as all government entities do at this point. But it is the question is correct. I think the biggest issue facing Hughes County is the jails and the inmates, public defender fees, and infrastructure such as roads and bridges. Now, I'm an attorney, and I worked for the state for 20-some years, and I worked with six governors, had a lot of legislative experience in drafting bills and lobbying the legislation. I think a couple of possibilities that need to be explored are go to the legislature with a bill and get the state county commissioners to support it. The bill that I'd propose, or at least to look at propose, would be to place a tax on hunting and fishing licenses. Now, that is, it would be a statewide tax on both residents and non-residents. But what it would do essentially is it would generate and earmark that money to the counties to meet their budget problems. I think that would, you know, really help as far if we could get them to do that. And I think the state or county commissioners would support it. Another one is an increase in the bed booze and cigarette tax. But that has a strong lobby. That is hard to pass. It's proposed often. It's defeated often, but I don't think we should give up. If we get those ones generated from the state level down to the counties, it would help us tremendously in meeting our needs. Thank you.
Kerry.
Okay. I don't have much knowledge with the budget right now. I know I've looked at expenditures and income for the 2017 for Hughes County. I haven't spent a lot of time on it, so I'm not going to be able to talk too much about it. I do know that court-appointed attorneys, our fees are really high there. We need to try to figure out something that we can do there. Our hands are kind of tied because we have to provide that also. But I believe the current commission has probably been working on plans and trying to figure out budgets and where they can and can't. We're going to have to sit down and listen and see where they're at with that. But I'm not going to say there's not going to be any new taxes, but we need to work on our expenditures. We need to see where we can cut some money here or there, move it around. And like I said, I think the current commission has been working on that, and it's a big problem for all commissions and all cities and all towns. It's, you know, every year the budget is the biggest problem, and some people miss out because you got to take it away from the budget, and some years, you know, it's just really tough. Last year Hughes County didn't come out with much over their expenses, but we just need to buckle down and see where our expenses really are and try to cut some of the costs in some areas. Thank you.
Cherry.
Yes, I also looked at the budget plan, and I've seen where 44% of it went to the courts and 24 to the roads. And I don't know how to make that any better, but I'd have to go look at that and see what a guy could do and just keep the roads up.
That's it. Connie.
The first thing I did when I decided to run for the county commission is I downloaded the last annual legislative audit report, and I went through it and just tried to understand where all the money and where the revenues are generated from. Obviously, it's from property taxes, and there's revenues from the jail. There's also, and then our car licenses. Those are the major revenue sources. But what I would look at, and the first thing I would ask is, what can we streamline? What can we make more efficient with the funds that we have today? Can we automate things? Can we make things, you know, those would be the one items I would look at. The other item I would look at is, are there federal grants that we can go after? The federal government gives so many dollars for counties, and so Hughes County should be going after as many of those as we can.
And Dave,
I agree that the one of the main things is the court cost. That's just huge, and it's the meth thing in our community. I mean, we don't think of rural communities as having big drug problems, but I can tell you that there's a tremendous amount of meth use in Hughes County, and it leads to a lot of court costs I don't know exactly how to address it. I'm open to any ideas. Some of these young people, they idle hands. You know, one thing I'd kicked around is maybe you know, instead of putting everybody in jail and running court costs, is maybe just a county work teach them to get up in the morning and go to work. I mean, work is not an inherited thing. It's a learned thing. You know, if they don't get out of bed and go to work, they lay around, play video games, and smoke meth, and then we pay for it. I don't know how to address it, but that was one of my ideas, and if anybody has any ideas, I'm willing to listen. But that's all I have to say.
Thank you. Our next question, we'll start with Dave and again work our way back down the line. The passage of Marcy's Law in 2016 has had significant but varying impacts on counties and how they provide services to crime victims. Next month, voters will be asked if they favor a number of revisions to this statute as proposed by the state legislature. Do you have a position on this ballot issue, and do you have any thoughts about how Hughes County can deal with the aftermath of the vote, pass or fail? Dave.
I don't really have a position on it. I think the citizens are entitled to know what's going on and who was arrested for what. But I really don't have a position on Marcy's Law.
Connie.
Again, I don't know exactly what it is. It's my understanding that the ballot question is cleanup. And so I haven't really studied it that hard yet, so I don't have an official opinion on it yet.
Jerry.
Yeah, I don't have an official opinion on it either. I haven't studied it or seen anything on it.
Kerry.
I don't know what's currently coming up, but I do agree that Marcy's Law is a good one. I mean, victims do have a right, and they need to be protected. And I think, I need to see what it is to say whether I'd support it or not, but I do believe that victims do have a right and they need to be protected, so that's where I'll stay.
Dave.
As an attorney, I'm very familiar with Marcy's Law. I've dealt with it a few times in my private practice, and I will tell you I've already voted, and I voted yes to support the changes. My primary reason is not to take away victims' rights. What happened with Marcy's Law is it was proposed by citizens, not by the legislature, and essentially it was a poorly drafted bill and statute. It sounded good on the surface the way it was drafted. I mean, Marcy's Law protect victims, and the public voted in huge a few years back. But because of the problems that it created, then they started looking at it again, and now this is a fine-tuning. It's not taking away victims' rights. It's fine-tuning. It's endorsed by the County Commissioners Association, by the way. They've endorsed it and asked that you support the changes. And I know what the changes are, and I fully support the changes. And it does keep the protections in place for the victims, and it will also relieve some of the problems faced by the counties and law enforcement in enforcing Marcy's Law or following it. Thank you.
And Randy.
And I'm going to be honest with you. I don't know a lot about it. I know I voted for it originally. I know that the reasoning for it was a good idea, and before I vote coming up, I'll be more knowledgeable about it, but I really don't have a stance one way or another right now on it.
Okay. All right. We'll start this question with Randy. Drug-related crimes are an increasing burden to Hughes County and across the country. This has resulted in increased public safety costs, which are a significant share of the county's general fund budget. As a commissioner, what ideas do you have to address the issue?
You know, I've got a good friend that was a public attorney for the Hughes County, and in a conversation with him, he said 99% of his cases were meth related. The government has been fighting drugs for 50 years. We got to figure out how to beat them. I don't know what the answer is, but we've got to figure out how to beat them. And meth is so available. As a real estate appraiser, I had to take a seminar on meth, and you've got everything to make it in your kitchen, folks. And that's why it's such a dangerous drug. I do not know the answer, but we got to figure it out.
Dave.
I'll be very brief. DABIs and drugs use is a significant problem, as we all know. My philosophy is to put all possible on a first-time offender. We don't go to jail. We try treatment. And basically as a part of probation, very strict probation. They have a drug court in Sioux Falls. It's run by a very good friend of mine, Patty Rappel. She's a retired judge for out of Sioux Falls. But I don't know if you've seen her on Kettleland. But they have a graduation program about every 3 months, and it's very, very successful. The Supreme Court now is looking at expanding that to other areas, including Hughes County. And basically what it'll do, it gets those people into treatment on very strict probationary standards and work standards. If they successfully complete the conviction or the is expunged from their record, and they have a clean record. If they don't, they go to jail. I believe everybody has, you know, has a right to make one mistake, you know, and I guess, and then, and you know, if you go twice, no, once, yes. But basically, I think that, you know, there's alternatives other than jail and imprisonment to meet the needs, you know, of those individuals and the counties and their budgets. Thank you.
Kerry.
Well, drugs in general are just a terrible deal, something to deal with law enforcement. You know, it's getting worse and worse. It's easier. Younger kids are getting it. But I believe that the court system has probably failed the most in the system. I mean, we need to set an example or something. We need to start getting stricter laws in here. We need to have judges that set down the sentences, and we need to start making people understand that drugs aren't good to have, and we're not just going to give you a second or third or fourth chance on the deal. I mean, people know what they're doing. It's not like it's a new drug. It's not like something just come out last year and everybody's just starting having drugs. It's been around for a long, long time, and people know what the consequences are of it, and they need to be dealt with, and they need to start having, you know. Yeah, we need to start sending them more jail. I mean, they need to go to prison. We can't be giving them second, third chances. I mean, they know what their consequences are already. They know what they're doing when they go to it. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Jerry.
Yes, I went to a seminar on drugs and substance. I'm in transportation and have seen the awful things that it does. And I think that if they'd start young and educating the kids and stuff about how bad it is and how dangerous it is to have around, that it would help a lot.
Connie.
I think it starts at home. I think families need to be, if the county can help the families, I think that's where it starts. I raised three kids, and we talked about drugs from the time they were in first grade. I mean, we just said, you don't do it. And we had open discussions, and you have those relationships. Now, as far as the county helping them or helping families do that, I think that's where it needs to start, is supporting the families.
Okay. And Dave.
I agree a little bit with what Connie said, too. My oldest son, Murdoch, when he was in high school, he had four or five friends came over to the house one evening, and I just went down there and had a little visit with them, and I told them in no uncertain terms that my children didn't use drugs, and if they used drugs around my children or offered drugs to my children, that I would beat them severely, and I didn't care who their parents were. I think it kind of scared those kids a little bit, but you know, I sometimes kids need to hear that too, and you know, it's who they hang around with, but also we need to encourage the like, just like my kids, they knew every kid in high school that was using drugs, and I'm like, you know, nobody wants to be a narc, but you know, those are the ones that we end up paying for. I mean, that's our tax dollars that are putting them in jail later. And you know, if we can stop it there, you know, get their parents involved. And that's where I think we need to encourage our kids that, you know, don't feel like you're being a narc or a traitor or whatever. I mean, go ahead and let people know who these kids are, and let's get them straightened out before they get to that point where we're paying for them.
Okay. Yes.
I just want to, Connie really kind of nailed it. As a recovering alcoholic, and I've been 26 years sober, I spent 28 days in treatment, and it's a battle every day. And the one thing I did, and this is where I appreciate what Connie said, my daughters, I told them, you're next, and if you don't get a hold of it right now, you're next. Neither one of my daughters, they drink very little. They're usually the designated driver.
Thank you. Next question, and we'll start with Dave and come back this direction. County roads and bridges are another major expense to the county budget. What road or bridge projects in Hughes County do you see as a priority in the next 5 years?
With the area where the city is growing, it's growing to the northeast. There's going to be road issues that need to be dealt with in the future, and we need to probably start laying out some groundwork. I haven't seen the planning for what they have. It was years ago, but that's something we really need to keep up, because once houses are built and you try to put in roads, it just creates a lot of more expense for the county. I mean, if you know that there's an area, I mean, spend a little bit of money up front sometimes is a lot cheaper than buying people out or to redo roads later. And that's kind of one of my things. I've noticed is that, you know, we need to kind of look for future planning.
Connie.
As most of you guess, I'm probably not an expert at building roads, but what I do know is that I have a lot of people, I've talked to a lot of people who drove in our county, and they say our roads are better than a lot of the surrounding counties. So I think we do a good job. I think that our county employees that take care of the roads are doing a great job. As far as the priorities and where we're going, I'm not sure where that is, and I won't until I get there. Thank you.
Jerry.
Yes, I think we should study where the growth is and where it's going and design the roads. The roads are getting wider. I think we need more area to work in and more right of way. And it's got to grow to the east and to the north. And I think there's some planning and seeing where it goes would be good.
Okay. Kerry.
Well, I drive a lot of gravel roads, not just in Hughes County, but quite a few counties around this surrounding more than 100-mile radius. I think our gravel roads can use quite a bit of work. I don't think they're the best we have, but, you know, we've got limited budget. Mike tries to do what he can. We need to look at the gravel that we're putting down. We also need to look at, like Jerry said, where the growth is. You know, I know that out of Grey Goose, we've got a lot of miles of asphalt out there that are coming up, and they're looking at trying to rebuild or restructure or something like that. And, you know, you're looking at $500,000 per mile for some of this asphalt reconstruction and stuff. You know, that's going to be a huge hit on the budget here within the next 5 years. You know, anytime you have asphalt, you've got high maintenance costs, but anytime you have gravel, you have high maintenance costs. I mean, it's just really tough right now. You know, we've got a good crew and they've got good equipment, and maybe we just bought 6 new trucks, and maybe we're going to have to hold on to our equipment a little bit longer to spend our money someplace else so we don't spend it all on equipment and do a little bit more road maintenance in that way.
Okay. Dave.
I think the priority on roads and bridges has to be in our county roads where our farmers and ranchers are doing most of their hauling. One area that I know that comes to mind, I drove recently, was I was driving up north and I cut into to go to Peoria Flats. And that gravel road is horrendous. It's like driving on a washboard, and it's primarily caused by, I believe, the farmer's semis hauling back and forth, and obviously that's important. We've got to have that. I mean, that's our economy in this area. I know I followed the county commissioners, you know, as far as in the newspaper, on the radio, and I know there's issues in the canning area as far as bridges and roads. And the blood area. Now, I'm sure there's others also, but I think what we have to do is just, you know, if I'm elected, take a look at those, pace my priority basis, and take them one by one. I also agree that we have to take away some of the problem or some of the money that's spent on equipment. There's nothing wrong with delaying another road grader or another truck for a year, even though you have the money, and put it into repairing roads. It's a matter of, you know, prioritizing how you spend that money. That money is there. It's available. Doesn't have to be spent on new equipment just because it says new equipment in the budget. That money can be shifted over to roads and gravel, asphalt, because those things should be delayed, and that equipment will last. I've talked to a number of people that work for the county. They have good equipment. They have good graders. They have good haulers, and they will last more than the amount of time that they're keeping them right now. So, I mean, there's budget things that we can change, and I think we have to look at those sort of avenues. Thank you.
And Randy.
You know, I spent 9 years on the school board, and one of the things that we did there was we took a good hard look at all our capital outlay projects, and we prioritized things. That's one of the things we need to do. I sat at the Hughes County Commission meeting the other night, and Derek McTeague from Bros Engineering did probably a 40-minute presentation talking about applying for grants and what they need to do to get more points. And I need to ask more questions about it because it's a system that I'm not real familiar with. But it's about a bridge that needs replaced. And I kind of mentioned it earlier in my comments. They're talking about just rerouting everybody and not replacing the bridge. The other project that I've heard them talk about at a previous commission meeting is the intersection of 1804 and Grey Goose Road. And apparently there's some issues there in the wintertime of people going off that embankment. I lived out there 20 years. I never had a problem with it. But the other thing that they're doing is the county commissioners are currently looking at the legality of charging a front foot fee for all lots out in the county in private development. So it's something you guys want to pay attention with. I don't know where I stand on it. They need some money to take care of things. So that's what they're looking at. They don't know the legality, so that's where they're at.
I've got one last question, but I think I'll hold this. Gloria, do we have any questions from the audience? All right. I've got one last question, and we'll start this one with... Okay. Ma'am, what I'd like you to do is submit it in written form so that we can review it, because we want to have some ability to make sure there aren't any issues with any.
It's sort of been covered, but.
Okay, I'm gonna try to wander my way through this. It is fairly long, and it revolves around the issue of taxes on alcoholic beverages and the distribution of the revenue. If these bills that had passed in this year's legislature had more revenue been generated, more revenue would have been passed on to the counties. One of the bills stated that for purposes related to alcohol harm, including public safety, alcohol treatment programming, underage alcohol drug prevention programming, etc. If bills like this were introduced in the 2019 legislative session, what would be your thoughts on lobbying our legislators for revenue for counties and more revenue for helping juveniles? Do you want me to try to rephrase that and state it again, or do you?
I know what it says.
I understood it.
Okay, you know, Randy, you want to take a crack at it?
I would be totally in favor of it, but you're talking to a guy that doesn't drink. So you can tax alcohol all you want. I don't drink it, so I wouldn't pay it. But there'd be a lot of people opposed to it, and I can guarantee you there'd be a pretty solid lobbyist group up there fighting it. It'd be a tough fight to get, but I totally agree. More money for roads and more money for treatment programs for especially the younger kids. We've got some problems there, and we need to start with the younger kids to get this problem solved. We're not getting anywhere with it. We all know that. Everybody in this room knows that drug and alcohol problems with younger kids, we aren't solving it, and we need to.
Dave.
I think I already stated in one of my prior answers as far as legislation. I would fully support it. In fact, I even draft the bill if necessary. The problem is, as Randy said, is that there's such a strong lobby against it up there. You have the alcohol distributors. You have the vendors. You have the video lottery people, because it affects their business. Whenever you're dealing with alcohol and video lottery, they're intertwined. It's a tough fight, but I don't think we should give up. One of the questions I'm going to have of the House candidates that are coming forward, would you support such a bill? Because I want to know what their vote's going to be, because I could determine how I vote for them come June 5th. But, yes, I would draft the bill. I think the county commissioners would support it, as they always have statewide. But the problem is there's a very strong lobby and a lot of money that's going to have to be overcome to get, passed into law and signed by the governor. But, yes, I would support it.
Kerry.
I'm going to be here with Randy. I never have drank. I don't drink, never have. So, to me, along with Randy, the taxing, it doesn't matter to me. I mean, how much you want. But
the majority of people probably do drink, and the majority of people probably will continue to drink. And when it comes to the vote, the majority of the people will probably vote this down. I would still be for taxing and raising it and helping with, you know, helping with people that have alcohol addictions and try to educate young people. But I think the voice of the people will still vote it down, even if it comes up a second, third, or fourth time.
Okay. Jerry.
I would probably support it, too, just for the fact of helping the people that need the help to get over it and get through their addiction.
Connie.
I guess the first thing I would look at is the juice worth the squeeze? How much would the revenue be? How much would we be able to put towards these programs? I support the programs, but I'm not sure if that's the right place to go for the revenues.
Okay. And Dave.
I'm kind of the same way with Connie. I've never been in favor of targeting one specific group for anything, whether it's a truck driver or a guy that drinks or a guy that smokes or a guy that fishes or a guy that's got a boat or, you know, I don't like going down that road where we target specific people and specific groups. I mean, we all live in this community. We should all share the burden and work together as a community to solve our issues and not try to alienate or target specific groups. I just never have liked that.
Okay. We are coming up to the end of our allotted time. Time has come for closing statements. Since we started with Dave with the opening statements, we'll start with Randy for a two-minute closing statement.
Thank you, and thanks again, everybody, for coming and taking the time to hear us, and Greg, for you for moderating, and the chamber for holding this. I appreciate your time. And again, folks, I've been here 31 years. Go out and ask the people that have seen what I do with the school board and all the other organizations I've been involved with. I don't sit on my hands. I'm available. I listen. If I can't answer your question, I will find out what the answer is, and I'll get back to you. I'd appreciate your vote on June 5th.
Dave.
I think you can tell we have very good candidates running for these positions. I think whoever gets elected will probably do a good job. But there are a few differences, and I'd like to point out a couple as far as myself. I'm the only one who's actually taken on governmental entities as far as increasing taxes and fees. The county commission tried to raise the wheel tax on four separate occasions, and I went there and defeated myself by either public vote or not letting them do so. You know what? They survived just fine. They adjusted their budget, and they survived. The most recent battle I had was with the city of Pierre, the event center. I forced the public vote on that issue because they knew I'd refer it to you, the people, to vote on. They got defeated by a 78% margin. So you people spoke and spoke loudly. And I'm a firm believer that if there's anything as far as it's going to be big money that's going to be spent, the people and not five commissioners should decide. You, the people. You have good candidates. I'd only ask, please get out and vote on June 5th. Thank you very much.
Kerry.
I'd like to thank you for this forum tonight and the chance to speak to everybody and answer these questions. I think we have a very diverse group of people here that want to try to make change in this upcoming Hughes County Commission. All I can tell you is I will listen to all sides of each issue, and I will work on and vote for what will benefit the majority of Hughes County residents. I won't turn around. I won't back up. I never weigh that way. If it's what it's going to be the best for the majority of Hughes County residents, that's the way I'm going to vote. Thank you.
Jerry.
Yes, I'd like to thank everybody for coming for this forum. And I agree with Dave. I don't think five people should just start making all the rules and stuff. I think a lot of things should come to the vote of the people.
Connie.
Thank you, everyone, for coming. I'm very excited. I'm an empty nester now. I have lots of time to devote to the county. And I want to bring that skill set to you. So I appreciate your vote on June 5th.
And Dave.
And I also would like to thank all of you for coming. It's an honor to be here. I'd like to thank you for moderating this. It would be an honor to serve. I, you know, like I said, this community's been extremely good to me, and I would love to give back to it and work to solve some of these issues that we have. I'm always willing to listen to anybody's opinion, and you know, we'll make a decision. I mean, you know, you need people that can make decisions, and sometimes they're tough decisions. But the one thing I cannot stand is a politician that is wishy-washy and won't take a stand one way or another. I mean, I'm a little bit opinionated. You might not always like my opinion. I'll always listen to your side, and if you have a good argument, I can be swayed. But I don't play both sides of the fence. I'm not one of those kind of people. So thank you all for coming, and I appreciate this opportunity.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you would please give a round of applause and thank the candidates for being here tonight.